QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Okay, got one announcement is not to forget that this upcoming weekend, Memorial Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon, Friday and Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon, we have a great display going on there at the Performing Arts Center in Big Bear. Look that up for all the information. Great display for Tesla. Stay tuned for more. Topic of the evening, we're going to discuss vertical monopoles. Got a good article in QST Magazine of June issue, 43 foot, why that's a good number, how it works, what it's supposed to be doing, and comparing it to other verticals, quarter wave, half wave, and such. Before I call my roster here, little thing there, got a couple issues with the repeater. The dropout on my mic is not me. We have traced that down to something else. Going to probably confirm that. Real quick, Jim, KJ6KDL, are you out there?
Roger, we're here and ready to go.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Yeah, Jim's going to monitor me on the input and the output both. He's about a mile away, so. All right, let's get to the roster, brief roster we have here. And starting on the top of the list, I have WB6CLZ Mike. And I believe he's in Placentia.
For one more day, anyway. Hey, KF6Q, this is WB6CLZ. Good evening, Tom. Good evening, everyone on the net.
Good evening there, Mike. Cindy close by, WB6CIN.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Okay, Cindy, I'll let you know. Making planter beds for some strawberries and potatoes and all kinds of goodies up here. Anyway, KA6CIA, George.
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
Good evening, George, from Lucerne Valley. Hope you're staying cool. How about KE6RJ? Harry, are you out there? I don't hear Harry out there, or probably no Nancy either. Moving on down the list to KJ6HCS. Mike.
Evening, Tom. KJ6HCS. No traffic.
Good evening, Mike. Hope everything's good over there in Fonskin. Courtesy check-in, K6EKX, for Mike's dad. WA6ITC, Rod, are you listening this evening?
Yeah, we got our ears here, and things are fine in Lake William. WA6ITC.
Glad to have you out there, Rod, and thanks for checking in. How about one more time there, Jim, for the record, KJ6KDL.
KJ6KDL here with KDK.
Okay, Jim, thanks for helping me out with this test this evening. Appreciate that. Arnie, not sure if he's off the hill. We'll see if he's out there. WB6PBZ, Ray. And I've heard, pretty busy guy out there. How about KI6IQA, Kelly?
Good evening, KI6IQA.
Well, good evening, Kelly, from Eastern Big Bear there, and thanks for checking in. How about K6GBL, Ron, from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is Ron, K6GBL.
Well, good evening there, Ron. Also, just a little announcement I forgot. I don't know why I remember this with you. We tested some cert hams over there in Angeles Ocean this weekend and got four new ones. So, four cert hams over there. Anyway, okay, how about Ann in Pomona, N6DLP? Are you out there? And nothing heard. How about AD6PL Harold in Riverside?
AD6PL.
Well, good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out. Excuse me, glad to have you out there, and stay cool down there. K6LCS, Clint from Harufa Valley. And no Clint. How about KJ6PYV, Dave? Well, we have K6BB in there. And this is KF6Q for the Tech Tuesday Net. Every Tuesday we can on the K6BB repeater. Let's see, W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken, are you out there?
W6JLM, we will be listening.
All right, good evening. Glad to have you out there. Let's see if he's out there. K6YNW, Chris, are you out there? And oh, Chris, Chip's got an early check-in there, W6POO. And moving on down the list, let's see if Bill's out there, KD6LEN. And nothing heard. Okay, let's see here. The next sheet, AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and the group, Victor Santa Fe 6.
Hey, Victor. Glad to have you out there this evening. Santa Fe Springs. Beautiful weather up here in Big Bear. You got to get up here. KA6ROD, Rod. Nothing heard. How about KB6LTY, Christy? Nothing heard. How about Steven in Long Beach? K9AOG. All right, that has most of the list, and we have a couple others that usually check in as guests. Anybody out there want to check in as a guest? Okay, didn't catch that. Anybody want to come back as a guest? Alrighty, let's get right to our solar report, solar weather. Mike, WB6CLZ, what is happening with solar weather out there? And any DX if you have it.
Well, you know, about the same. We've had some good times and we've had some bad times. Actually, just before I checked into the net here, 17 was open and doing pretty well tonight. So, yeah, things are good. Space Weather's reporting a sunspot number of 120 with a solar flux index of 131 solar flux units. Not good, not bad, but so-so. Okay. Let's see. I've had reports this morning on the RAG 2. One of the guys said that 6 meters. We've had a couple of them openings on 6. And I know for a fact we've had some openings on 10 meters. Things were good over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Golly, I got my new little KX3, my toy here. I've been playing around with that and having a ball. Let's see, we worked Hawaii, we worked Sweden, we worked New Zealand, Japan, the island of Martinique, Rotunga, then another
Mother New Zealand, and we heard, but we could not work with 10 watts Dubai. So, yeah, things were pretty good. Having fun, getting good signal reports. Most of those, well, actually all of those contacts were sideband, no CW contacts. But things are good. Not too bad. Hopefully it'll get better in the near future. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, Mike, good deal there. And Mike, you and I were talking this afternoon. Do you think you'll be able to tell us all about that little brand new radio you got at our meeting this weekend?
Anybody is interested in hearing that about that little radio, I am interested in showing it off. It's like having a K3, 90% of the functions of the K3 in a 7.5 by 3.5 by 1 3/4 inch package. Cool little radio. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. That'll be at the Tech Hour at 5:30, our Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting this weekend coming up on Saturday at Big Bear Lake Fire Station. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Well, good deal. I don't hear out there. We are going to go move on to the subject. And we have a 43-foot vertical monopole. Well, what's a monopole? What's a monopole? Well, a monopole is a ground plane. If you ever looked at a little ground plane with radios out there, very popular with CB radios, but also being used right now for Echolink up here. That's monopole, single element vertical, and then of course the ground plane gives a reflected image of a second one, but it's still considered a monopole. And a lot of our verticals are monopoles. So, Mike, this is a pretty cool article, and I know you've got more experience in verticals than I do, but I'm going to try to wing it here. 43 feet. Yeah, that's a resonant antenna of a quarter wave of about 5.4 megahertz, which is the 60 meter channels, I guess, is in that area. But that's not what we're looking at here. It's got a lot of neat features. And I think it starts that it's pulled from the extended double ZEP, the EDZ. Ooh, so, oh, that's a big long one. If we had a horizontal extended double ZEP, I believe that's what, Mike, like a 5/8 needs direction or something like that?
Yeah, the whole antenna is 1.25 wavelengths long, according to this article. And regressing a little bit, Tom, yeah, I have had a lot of experience with vertical. That's about all I have up until probably the last 3 years. But that doesn't mean I really knew how they work. This is a good article. A lot of information is how they work. And this antenna here, you know, everybody's selling them. MFJ, LDG, DX Engineering, everybody's got a version of this 43-foot monopole. They're very, very popular. But, yeah. The EDZ, or extended double ZEP, is the total antenna is 1.25 wavelengths long. So what we're dealing with here is about half of that. Back to you, Tom.
Right, and since we are going to actually turn this thing on end and then chop half of it off, that's pretty much where we're ending up here with this 43-foot vertical. I guess this would be considered the G5RV of vertical antennas, pretty much. But anyway, a couple things here, because if we had a double extended ZEP for 20 meters, it would be 86 feet long. And of course, we cut that in half. This is this magic 43 feet. So essentially what we have is a double extended ZEP for 20 meters. Of course, that's cut in half, stood on end, and it's going to have that image from the counterpoise, all those neat little radials that you bury in the ground, hopefully, or not. But anyway, I think that would make it work better, of course. Pretty cool thing. This is quite the thing, especially now if you're in a homeowner association area and you're not allowed to have antennas. If you're very, very clever, you could get a fiberglass 43-foot flagpole. Be a pretty tall flagpole. But, hey, if you're a pretty patriotic person, that would be a fit right in there. And then hide this thing inside, Mike. I think, wouldn't that work?
As a matter of fact, I believe it's DX Engineering has that kit to where, you cover it up with a piece of PVC, looks like a flagpole, and you stick their vertical antenna. They have a trapped version, which is not like this. It has traps in it, not just a 43-foot bottom pole. And this, with a flagpole, I think I've seen that. And that's really cool. I mean, you could be at Leisure World and be the king of the block with your flagpole, and not unbeknownst to everybody, you could have your matching system and everything in a little flower planter. I've seen pictures of that. And work the world from one of these little things. Back to you, Tom.
Well, anyway, would be perfect. Like I say, especially or anybody who's just in an apartment building and gets the manager to believe he wants to be patriotic and put a flagpole up. Well, good deal. This antenna by itself is not resonant. Usually EDZs or extended double depths aren't, and usually need to be tuned in some fashion. This guy looks a little bit like a capacitor, and so we have that magical thing that counteracts the capacitors called a loading coil. Coils and caps cancel each other out. So, kind of can bring this thing back into tune, or you can tune it up with a tuner. Mike, on some of the vendors there that carry this, do they include a loading coil, or is that something extra?
I think MFJ does. I'm not sure about the DX Engineering or LDG, but you know what? I'll page through real quick and check it out on the next go-around. I'll let you know.
Okay, and I think that when this is all counteracted by the inductive reactants, whatever there, it looks like the SWR is getting below two to one, so... Anyway, that's the idea there. So a little tune-up there, maybe a little possibly if it was necessary, but pretty cool. Well, okay, this is actually a 5/8 wave because it's the 1 1/4 wave cut in half. 5/8. I think I remember CB antennas being really good about that. 11 meters, 5/8 waves, shooting, you know, good pattern, shooting straight out broadside. Well, let's look at this. How this compares to the quarter wave monopole. Quarter wave. Of course, pretty simple. I think we built those at your house, Mike.
Yes, we have, and those turkeys worked out pretty darn good. We've done that for 2 meters. And I did look that up, Tom, and it looks like the LDG sells one for $199, and they'll give you either a 200-watt ballon or an onion, I can't pronounce it. Anyway, and that is how you match it. I guess you have to use a tuner on these things, too, though. Back to you.
Yeah, the onion. Next thing you know, our tongues are tied here, that's for sure. Well, good deal. And the quarter wave for 2 meter, real simple to make. Just a quick reference to that would be a half quarter wave, about 19-inch piece of anything soldered into a PL-259, and instant antenna vertical for 2 meters with a couple little radials kicking out from that connector. So. Or SO239, I'm sorry, socket. I had to get my connectors connected here. Well, anyway, and that's pretty much it. So it's really, with a quarter wave, is going to tune up better, going to feed better. It's going to end up, well, we've had quarter waves that tune up pretty good, but they're saying here a big high vertical, about 36 ohms, close to 50, not quite. We can make it 50 because we kind of bend them on that 2 meter. And that's not too bad, very low SWR. But the pattern is what they're all looking at, and the pattern, of course, is not perfect. But it is a beautiful pattern with this 5/8 wave. So anyway, Mike, next would be the half wave, which is 34 feet. And what are they saying about that in here?
You want to feed it against the ground, and it has the advantage that it can work on 40 meters, too. And the pattern that it puts out, I guess, is between that of a quarter wave and a half wave on 20 meters. It looks like a pretty decent pattern. They give you the blue line if anybody's looking at this. And looks like a pretty good low angle of radiation. You should be able to work a lot of DX on 20 meters with that thing. But looks like they're talking about a little bit higher. Most of your antenna tuners rate 10 to 1 SWR. They will match antennas up to 10 to 1. Looks like this thing has on the high range, if you make it out a quarter inch wire, like hanging from your tower or something, about 2,200 ohms. And if you make it out of 2-inch tubing, it looks like 880 ohms. So, yeah, you'd have to do some playing around to get that thing to match up, even with your with a good high-range tuner on that. Back to you, Tom.
Well, it seems like also this magic, that's why going to the 5-H wave, which we kind of jockey off that and use our loading coil to tune that up, or help tune that up. 43-footer also seems to do the full quarter wave on 160 meters, and you know, that's pretty good, because basically, you know, getting 160 meters protects some very huge antennas. So I guess this is, like I said, this is kind of like the G5RV of verticals, kind of balances out between a lot of the bands. It still needs a little bit of tuning. And actually is pretty good on some, so pretty neat deal. And you say that for the average there, this thing runs, what, about $200? Is that what you said?
The CLDG price for the basic, and they're all about that. You know, I think I saw one a while back that was $300 or $299, but yeah, they're all in that range. Not high price as far as antennas go. Looks like pretty good. Looks like, though, the basic antenna that we're talking about resonates pretty good on 60 meters. That's probably the band that it actually resonates on. I don't actually use 60 meters. It's a channelized band. I don't know many people that do. Also, pretty good on 10 meters, too. So without any tuning at all, there's two bands it's hot on. But, you know, like we've been talking about, got to play little tricks on it, add a loading coil and a tuner. Back to you.
Well, good deal. Any questions out there so far from anybody? Please come back to KF6Q. All right, we'll always have time for questions later on if that happens. Well, anyway, that's all pretty good news here. We got some bad news, though, and everything has to have bad news. So, I don't know. What are they trying to say here? That, oh, I guess that because of the fact it's 5/8 wavelength, once we seem to get deviate off of that, the I guess we'd call it the launch angle or critical angle seems to change. So it's really good at 5/8 wave. But as we start to, as the frequency changes, we're trying to work some of the other bands that are higher up in frequency, I guess this just isn't going to work, or not as well. Any thoughts on that, Mike?
That's exactly what they're saying here. They're saying on the higher band, it does have a higher takeoff angle. But, you know, still useful. Long of distance from the real low angle of radiation. But, you know, still a very useful antenna, especially if you're living in an HOA or something where you want something that's kind of, you know, nondescript and not really visible. You could probably stick this thing, you know, close enough to a tree to where you could have it out of your neighbor's eyesight and, like you said, make a flagpole of it. So still a perfectly good and usable antenna, just not perfect on all bands.
Yeah, okay, copy that. Mike, had a little drop out there. Hey, Jim, let me just interrupt real quick. Jim, KJ6KDL, how are we doing for dropouts here?
Yeah, you beat me to the break. Yeah, I got a time marker, so when we're done, I'll go back and I'll check that and see if we got the right numbers. But yeah, I did hear it. It dropped off the repeater.
Okay, also getting reports from downstairs that I've dropped out a couple of times. Where are you able to monitor both right now?
Yes, and you're coming off the off of 9:30 clean. I haven't heard you drop out yet, but Mike dropped off of all three receivers.
Okay, watch that. Yeah, the carrier was still in there solid. So my other assistant downstairs said, though, on through the repeater, I've dropped out a couple of times. So, Anyway, pretty much got that. At least we know what that is. Not me. Anyway, Mike, sorry to interrupt. Caught most of it anyway. It's usually only about a couple seconds long. Well, anyway, good deal. So that's pretty much the article here. And there's a couple of different ways to feed this thing, I guess. Trying to see what we have here. You can always have a manual or automatic tuner at the antenna base, you know, and kind of switch some loading coils in and out, and that really helps. I mean, that's kind of a cool thing, as long as you keep it waterproof. Mike, what else do they have here? I think they got a couple other, one more thing here. Back to you, Mike.
Basically, it's saying that you just accept the loss and try to run shorter coax. But here our ugly balun comes up again. By golly, remember we've talked about the ugly balun. They say here, in either case, however you feed it, either with the manual automatic tuner or accept the loss and kind of use a 4-to-1 balun. That's another thing they're saying, that they highly recommend using an ugly balun. That kind of reduces the common mode currents, and yep, we even built one of those at one of our little sessions. Kind of a cool little thing. It's a core with 20 feet of coax wrapped around it, and that takes care of reducing your common mode currents. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, Mike, and that little, just to explain why we need to do that, is that here we have an actual coax feeding from our radio, and our antenna is essentially one element, single element, with the grounding element possibly going to the radials, but very, very unbalanced as far as that goes. So, still need that in there to kind of isolate the unbalance of that, the unbalance of the coax. So one is probably more unbalanced than the other. But anyway, whatever it is, the balun really solves all those problems. It's kind of like the magic glue. Pretty cool and very simple, especially if you have a lot of coax laying around. If you don't, it can always be done with some toroid cores, but you know, a lot of people don't have those laying around. Well, anyway, Mike, that's pretty much the article here. Anybody out there with any questions on this or any questions on verticals, please come back. Hey, there's Chipper. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a vertical because I don't have any trees on my lot, and skying this thing is mandatory to the wind situation, and it's got four traps. And it's fairly high. I'm going to get about 30 feet length in ground radial. That said, it's pretty heavy. It's a high gain, AV14. I forget, but that's basically what it is. That said, it's pretty hefty in weight. When you put this vertical inside that flagpole, if you're on a lot of wind, I'm just kind of curious, is that any experience, anything in that article about, I sort of came in the last 10 minutes, anything in there that talks about that situation? Because imagine it's sitting in a flagpole, it's got going back and forth, oscillating, with the wind, it could probably, take the flagpole down if it weren't solid guys or cemented. Can you talk about that?
Well, Chip, I think when we're talking about a flagpole, a lot of these flagpoles are tapered if they're fiberglass. A lot of them are made out of fiberglass or plastic and tapered. And actually, the key point here is mechanical strength. And the antenna itself would simply be a wire inside this, pretty much isolated from everything, and the strength itself would, of course, would just be, in that flagpole. So structural strength would be with that, and just the wires just along for the ride, if that helps.
Okay, understood. Didn't realize it was wires, because I think a vertical, my brain tells me, it's that aluminum pipe that's probably half inch, 3/4 inch in diameter. And it's not tapered at all. It's just way up the same diameter at the base as it is at the very top. And there's a little bit less. The bottom line is that it does affected by the wind tremendously. If I don't have, I've got four guy ropes on it, why the enemy tends to be on our witnesses. Mike had mentioned traps. They actually wire these traps. They just, you know, coiled them around some kind of an insulator.
Yeah, pretty much. What it basically is, the trap or the loading coil is just that. It's a core. For the do-it-yourselfer, by the way, there is information on winding those to tune that thing in, or you can purchase them, either way. And also, Chip, is one of the options there. They had a 2-inch diameter for less SWR on that. 2-inch diameter aluminum pipe, 43 feet long. Of course, you'd have to couple of 20-footers together to get it to stand up straight. Key point here is wall thickness. You know, I mean, all this stuff comes different wall thicknesses of metal. You definitely don't want something that's like 60 thousandths. And a lot of this stuff is available up, oh my gosh, quarter inch thick or something like that. So you start getting something that tall, you think in that those terms, always good to have somebody who's good with the numbers to basically calc that out and see if that's, you can actually calc, there is, I think with the ARRL, I believe it was there, but I do have that here, actual numbers for calcing the stress, how high a wind it will stand up to before it just topples over. Little bit of math there, good spreadsheet, but, you know, the biggest thing is high on the wind? Is it 80 miles an hour? Is it 100 miles an hour? Is it 60 miles an hour? That all comes into play, and trust me, as the wind goes up, it's exponential on the force.
Okay, understood. Appreciate that. I can tell you that on the high gain antenna, when I looked it up to the specs, it's a little, you have to read the word, every word it says. It's rated up to 68 miles per hour. We don't get 68 mile an hour winds here where I'm at, but we do get constantly 10, 15, 20, and just up to 35 or 40 at times. So it's interesting to look at that rated up to this particular high gain vertical. It works well. I mean, it gets me. I've worked around the world with it, a barefoot and with a 100-foot coax and so forth. But anyway, thank you. Understood. And the article, by the way, says XUST. I didn't quite get the location of the article.
Yeah, that's QST, and I think it's on page 30. Any other questions out there?
Have a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Chip, nothing to do with your 14-year high gain 14 AVQ, but the Hustler BTV series. If you Google flagpole antenna DX engineering, there's some really good articles on their flagpole antenna, and you may be able to get some ideas from that. The Hustler 4 BTV is not that much different from the 14 AVQ. I started out with a 14 AVQ up on the roof, so I know the antenna, but there's a nice article from N4AQ regarding flagpole antennas, and then a couple more regarding the Hustler BTV type antenna. And you may be able to get some tips and pointers from that. Hey, Matt, to you, Tom.
Yeah, and if anybody out there listening would like a little bit more information on monopoles, there is another article in this issue on page 44. However, this article, first requirement is you need to have about an 80-foot tower, and a lot of us don't have that, so that's getting way up there in the air. If you happen to have one of those monster towers, yeah, pretty cool the way they have configured this monopole, folded monopole around this thing. Awesome engineering here on antennas, but yeah, well, Mike, we've had a pair, and I think you know that. You've had that over there. We actually had recorded 100-mile-an-hour gusts up here, so I think that's when my neighbor behind me, his roof blew off. Saw Dorothy flying by with Toto and a witch and a broom, but didn't see the twister. So anyway, back to you, Mike.
It's all well and good. It's when the cows start coming by. That's the scary part. Back to you, Tom.
Yes, indeed. All right, good deal. Well, I think we're just about done with the article here and probably be wrapping up Tech Tuesday 4 this evening. Yeah, like I said, if you are up in Big Bear and want to see this amazing display that they're going to have at the Performing Arts Center. Owen's going to be down there. Really cool gear, awesome stuff. He will be playing the part of Tesla. Got them all dressed up looking like that. So check out the website for the Performing Arts Center in Big Bear. They got all the information there. So anyway, before we close Tech Tuesday, anybody with any comments or questions? All right, hearing nothing out there, we'll close down that. QST, this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control, with WB6TLZ, co-host, closing the net at 1900 hours, 35 minutes, and glad to have everybody out there listening, and we'll dig up something out of the QST probably next week. So hopefully if you're up in the area, the Big Bear area, 5:30 tech hour, Mike will be there, some cool stuff, meeting at 6:30 for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. All visitors are welcome, and they always leave as members. How about that? Anyway, that'll be at 6:30 for the normal meeting. That's at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station in Big Bear Lake. Any questions, please email me at kf6q, Kilo Foxtrot, City, Quebec, at arrl.net. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and be safe out there, KF6Q.